General manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. In fact, that's the way it is at Ed Morris. Over 1.2 million people have been backed by Morris with their price protection promise. And right now, during the Move Up sales event, drive a 2019 XT4 Premium Luxury just $299 a month. Plus, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa will make your first payment. Visit edmorriscadillactampa.com, edmorriscadillactampa.com, for all the details at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, right there on their website, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. All the great offers for this month are laid out for you. 2019 Cadillac CTS, $399 lease per month. 2019 Cadillac XT4, the all-new XT4, $339 lease per month, and your first payment is waived. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com is the website, and the dealership there is right on Causeway Boulevard. Hector LeBron, general manager, ask for him. He will take care of you personally. He's happy to give that personal service. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Thanks to them for sponsoring all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com. They make him possible to continue entertaining and being the sage of Tampa Bay sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy post-draft edition, the initial edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. He's not wearing his sage gear today, but he is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Ira, the draft is in the books. Well, first, how are you, buddy?
The first thing that needs to be said, very importantly, right at the top, Steve, is that we are missing a part of our triangle offense here, Mr. Lee DeKemper. And here's the key. Buck fans, don't go crazy. Don't be imagining things. I am here to tell you unequivocally. DeKemper is not in a treatment center in Hazleton, Minnesota. He is not. He's getting checked out. He's getting scoped out. Something he had scheduled weeks ago.
He's not at the Betty Ford Clinic.
Not at the Betty Ford Clinic. Now, is he a happy camper? No, he's not. No, he's not. He didn't forget about slamming his fist on the table. But it's just me and Steve today. We're carrying the water. And Lee will be back later in the week. But for those of you that asked me at the party to check on DeKemper, make sure he wasn't on the Skyway Bridge. No, he spent the evening surrounded by all three of his friends in the Buck Media Room at One Buck Place, having dinner, free, of course. And I showed up there Friday. But I just want to start off saying, Steve, I had a hell of a time at Buffalo Wild Wings. We had a very good turnout, all things considered. And it was great hobnobbing and meeting a lot of Buck fans.
Yeah, it was great to be out there, Ira. Great to see you holding court, accepting gifts, doing shots. You had about three shots in after it was about 6:45. You had three shots down. What was the final over-under? I had a lot of people asking me that.
I think four was the final, and that third defensive back put me over the top and sent me scurrying to the parking lot before I got to number five. I hit the under, as you knew I would.
Now, well, I really thought it was going to go over, Ira, but once I saw the size of the shots, a couple of those shots, at least two that
one
I
was
saw,
a cinnamon crunch. Never heard of it, Steve, but I downed it.
One of the ones I saw you do, that was a double or something. I don't know. Somebody doubled them up on you. I don't know. I was like, uh-oh, it's dangerous. But I'm glad you had a good time. We had about 450 people out there. I talked to Tampa's Finest, who was there, and the folks at Buffalo Wild Wings. And that was kind of the consensus, about 450 fans. Lively group, stayed quite late, not like at the stadium where they clear out right away. So,
by the way, after that cinnamon crunch, you know, Sean Bunting was looking a lot better in my eyes over there. I just want you to know that.
And, you know, I didn't even plan. I was going to duck out, Ira. I was planning to duck out, but things were moving quickly. I got into some good conversation, and I even told Lee, save my seat. Make sure nobody sits on my desk at One Buck. And we do actually have desks with our name on it. I don't think people realize that. One day we'll take a picture, Ira, of you sitting at your desk eating, which is really what you do there most of the time. Good time.
Then it was really a mixed reaction to that Devin White pick.
Yeah, mixed reaction. And then came the draft. Now, I'm not going to speak for Lee, and he'll have a lot to say. But you know what? I got over the Devin White thing quickly, even though I was disappointed, really disappointed that they didn't go with Josh Allen sitting right
there.
Because
you thought the draft fell in their lap. That's what you thought.
Great pass rush talent. I haven't read or heard anybody that didn't think Josh Allen is a legitimate top 10 talent in any draft in really every year.
So not only did Murray go off the board at one, which helps the Buck perspective, but then, you know, Gruden and Mayock make their crazy pick. Not that the guy's not a first-round talent, but he's probably not a number four talent. And again, Josh Allen, Oliver, they all fall. Now, Devin White is tough to pass up, Steve.
I understand it. I like White. I think he'll be a good player. We'll talk about that a little bit more now that he's actually here. But where it fell apart for me, Ira, was not even with the Bunting pick, the shocking Sean Bunting pick, because he wasn't a name and there were a lot of other cornerbacks out there. And I sat here on the podcast, Ira, screaming a couple of weeks ago, the Bucs suck at cornerback. You can't just pretend, because like I said, if anywhere you were sitting around the NFC South looking at the Bucs corners, you were laughing. So they had to address it. I don't know if this guy's the right name or not, but what really just kicked me in the groin, Ira, was the trade down at number three when you could have had a running back, and then the kicker in the fifth round.
Is the kicker.
I don't even. I lost it. I just lost it, and I'm sad. That's the word of the day for me, sadness.
Well, I'm going to say, other than Devin White, who I think is going to make an immediate impact in a lot of different areas, I think the other seven drafted players are going to have a negligible effect on the 2019 Bucs. That doesn't mean going, you know, down the line that they're not going to play prominent roles on this team. I'm not calling them busts, not calling them mistakes, but I don't see them as immediate impact players for a team that's coming off 5-11 seasons. As far as White is concerned, Steve, you know what struck me? And sometimes, you know, we're not always stupid on this podcast. We're not always wrong on this podcast. And may I say, when we talked about Devin White, Steve, in the last 3-4 weeks, one of the points I made more than once, and you heard it, how about having somebody that can key on Kamara and Christian McCaffrey? They're chewing us up. They're getting 8, 10 catches a game, those swing passes. It's 3rd and 7, and that's too easy. It's too easy to get those 9 yards. And Buck fans are tired of looking at it. And lo and behold, I believe it was Arians who mentioned it. I think it was the Devin White press conference.
Yeah, it was Friday with Devin White.
Friday with Devin
before
White.
Before the draft.
And Arians, you know, without being asked about it, throws out there that, and mentions Kamara and McCaffrey specifically, you know, vis-a-vis, you know, Devin White's role on the Bucs, blitzing up the middle. Now, Steve, here's the flip side.
The flip side is I get so pissed off, Ira. Why aren't these other teams drafting to stop the Bucs or to flip side on the, we got to do this to counter the Bucs? It's always, oh, let's draft Mark Barron to cover basketball tight ends. Let's draft this guy to slow down Kamara. You know, I hate that.
Well, you hate the fact that nobody's drafting to stop Mike Evans and the Buck offense and slow down the Buck pass rush. It's not happening. So it appears. Here's the flip side of White that I was going to mention, Steve. It's great to talk about pressure up the middle. Levante David has proven himself to be an adept blitzer when he's given the opportunity and in a good scheme. Who knew that Bill Sheridan, who nobody ever heard of before or since, you know, was going to unleash Levante David on the NFL that year. I think it was 2013, maybe. He went crazy. He was a stat machine. He also had 5 sacks another season. I think it was 2016. That's 2 different seasons with 5 sacks. That's good production for a linebacker that doesn't blitz all that often. Anyway, Steve, it's great to talk about the pressure up the middle with Drew Brees. Doesn't like it. He, you know, that's the way to get him. But, Steve, when you're counting on linebackers, you know, as prominent parts of your blitz package, especially middle inside linebackers, you're also leaving the middle of the field open if you don't get there. So, you know, I think Buck fans would be a lot more comfortable if they're counting on Josh Allen to combine with Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, and maybe Vita Vea at the nose and Nassib on the left side. But no, that's not the case. They're counting on Levante David / Devin White to produce a considerable part of their pass rush. I think that's dangerous.
Well, Sage, I got to say this. You know, you came out, you said you don't see any of these draft picks outside of Devin White having an impact this year.
Maybe the kicker.
I got to say, I can't go there with the second round pick. I just don't know the guy, and second round picks play well all the time. obviously Bulls and Arians, who are the guys driving the bus in this draft, they thought he can do it.
Where does he fit? Where does he fit? Is it going to take Carlton Davis's spot?
Well, and that's the beautiful question here. So I was more – the reason I was quote-unquote sad is because I think the plan's all messed up. Taking all these corners and the defensive back, we were sort of either led to believe slash deduced ourselves that the current regime thinks the last regime's coaching wasn't right.
Yes.
Look at the way Arians talked about the corners and the defensive backs and using these guys. So now we're led to believe that, but then they draft two corners in their first three picks. So what gives? I don't understand that exactly, except for the fact that Vernon Hargraves, he's due that fifth-year option next year, which for his level is going to be about $9 million, closer to 10 possibly. So if Hargraves is due $10 million next year and you draft two corners, it tells me they may want him to succeed, but they don't really think he's going to play to the level of a $9, $10 million corner, so this is going to be his last year.
And speaking of the safety, Steve, where's MJ Stewart in the mix? Where is he? He's supposed to be in the safety mix. If they had a lot of confidence in MJ Stewart, certainly Justin Evans isn't going anywhere. Not yet. Even though I thought he took a step back in 2018 before he got hurt. Where's MJ Stewart, Steve? I mean, you can't miss on second round picks left and right. You just can't do it. You can't overcome it.
Well, the Justin Evans thing is it sure looks like the organization might not have the most faith in him. I haven't heard him be talked up. I know he's coming off an injury.
The guy had a pretty good rookie season. He had three picks. He was around the ball. He screwed up like all rookie defensive backs do in this league. But I didn't see the improvement. They got to get on Justin Evans to be the player Light thought he was.
Well, I like that they did address the secondary because it was a need. However, I just don't think it was it all fits together. The puzzle just doesn't make sense. And the kicker thing, Ira, look, 80% of Bucks fans, perhaps 90, just were in stunned disbelief when they took a kicker from Utah who's used to kicking at altitude. And
well, wouldn't you find, Steve, that half the kickers in the NFL right now were undrafted? Well, wouldn't we find that? Maybe even more? I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely, you would find that. No question about it. And most of the ones who are drafted are sixth and seventh round selections, not fifth round picks.
And a lot of those guys don't make it. They don't make it.
Well, yeah, because you can find good kickers out there, period. Competent kickers, it happens all the time. So, and also the good teams know when to pick up a guy when, okay, he had one off year here, they got rid of him now, we don't think he's garbage, and they know when to pull him back. But the Bucks made this investment, and I get it. Arians is a kicker guy. His son was kicked for a year with the Buffalo Bills, got cut, and he knows kickers. He's got the kicking coach. They want a kicker. But if Cairo Santos is a guy you re-signed and you felt he wasn't all that, did you really know you were going to get Gay, the kicker, in the draft? So why didn't you address it before and save the pick? It doesn't fit.
As far as kickoffs are concerned, which I think that was a question mark for Santos.
The punter does it.
I believe the punter will do it, and he will do it well. Opinion. It's one of his attributes. So as far as Gay helping him in terms of kickoffs, I don't see that being a factor.
It just feels so surprising, Ira, that they would do that. And after this whole draft, when you look at everything, does this tell you that more to the fact that Jason Light has more of a say than you thought, less of a say? Where do you fall in the analysis of the hierarchy and the power structure?
I think the Arians-Bowles tandem ruled the day in the draft. I think Bowles led the charge on Devin White. Led it. If Bowles wasn't very, very bullish on Devin White, Devin White's not a Buck. He's not. Arians has total trust in Bowles. Bowles knows how he wants to use these players. He sees White as a very versatile piece on the chessboard, as a cover guy, as a blitzer. And let's be honest, Steve, his closing speed, it is extraordinary. It jumps out on the screen. Bucks haven't had anybody on defense with that kind of closing speed. I mentioned it in my Monday column since Derek Brooks was putting a hurt on Michael Vick. you know, for those of you who don't think Brooks was that quick on a football field, just watch those tapes. No, nobody tracked Michael Vick like Derek Brooks. Nobody, especially in that 0-2 championship season. But I'm not saying Jason Light was a puppet. Of course not. He's got a big scouting staff. You got to give those guys their due. But Bowles and Arians were running that show to a large degree, I think.
All right, Sage. There's much more to get into, but let's flip to the other side of the ball. Now,
Do we have to?
We have to, yeah. Now, you've been a very loud voice about two things. Beet salads, Riesling, and the waitresses.
By the way, the Riesling at Burns, did go to Burns a couple weeks ago, had a gift certificate. I thought it was a $150 certificate. It was only $100. See, before I dig into my salad, I'm depressed over there, Steve. And it cost me $60 out of my own pocket with the freaking card. But anyway, it was worth it because Burns is Burns. It's a special occasion. You, of course, go there every other weekend. You know, you bring out your table for eight, order anything you want, folks. But it was a heck of a Riesling.
You know, when the last time I was at Burns, I was last at Burns.
A client took you.
No, I lost a bet in 2000, and I had to take someone to Burns. And the guy,
2000, you weren't making any money. You had no money.
The guy actually called me on it, and he's like, and I was like, it was actually a sports executive in town. It's a good story for one day. All right, Sage, the offensive side of the ball. You've been very vocal about the Bucs need a balance in their attack. Haven't had it in quite a while, since 2015. Arians has been very vocal about how he wants to run the ball, likes to run the ball. And on the offensive line, the right side.
I made a big deal about Arians calling out the offensive line. It was the first thing he said.
Yes, he said multiple times that's where we need improvement, quickly, where he said that. And they've already announced as an organization that Caleb Benenach is a tackle, so he's at guard.
Looks like Watford's moving in, you know, to right guard.
Earl Watford, $800,000 a year. Nobody wanted him. Earl Watford.
Pressed by Alex Kappa.
Pressed by Alex Kappa. Evan Smith is still on the roster. And
am I the only guy who thinks Kappa looks like a tackle? Am I pissing into the wind over here? Do you know any 6'6 guards in this freaking league? I mean, what's going on?
There are some. Not many. So Ira and Bruce Arians also at the owners' meetings about a month ago today.
With you breathing down his neck over
breathing
there.
Breathing down his
breakfast.
Neck. I asked him about Dotson, and he basically said, I'll paraphrase, he can't really run block. Sometimes you work around guys who can't really run block because they're so good at pass blocking. That's really what he said about Dotson. And, you know, Dotson's a 6'9 tackle. That's not, with bad knees, that's not a guy who bends and drives in the run game consistently.
You can't make this stuff up,
so,
Steve.
So what do we got? The right side of the line is not addressed in free agency except for Watford.
Yep.
And which I really don't consider
and
it
they made
being addressed.
They made a commitment to Donovan Smith. Made the commitment.
And we've also got, in the draft, nothing. No offensive linemen. So, and no running back. And it all falls now on Peyton Barber's shoulders with a little prayer that Ronald Jones can contribute and look like an NFL player. And Andre Ellington, he was on the street last year and he's 30 years old. Sean Wilson coming off an injury. He's going to build on his 6 carries of his career. They didn't do anything in that all-important running game based per the Sage's words. Where are you?
And, okay, Steve, you just laid out a good case. And you know what you laid out the case for? Their offseason can't be over. It can't be over. You talk about a team scouring, you know, final cuts off other teams' rosters. The Bucs got to be first on the parade. Got to be. Yeah, you got to pick up a running back. Yeah, you got to pick up somebody on the right side of the offensive line. You have to. Heck, I don't mind picking up a quarterback that's better than Blaine Gabbert. Because I think that's a drop-off from Fitzpatrick. Now, look, I'm the first to say Fitzpatrick lost his final 5 starts last year. He fell off the map after starting 2-0. He did. But if the guy, you know, if Winston's out for 2 or 3 weeks, you'd rather have Fitzpatrick than Blaine Gabbert. I don't think there's any question about it. Fitzpatrick might start with his new team. I mean, that's crazy, but he might. Steve, they need help on the offensive side of the ball, the better side of the ball. They need help in the red zone. It was a big problem last year. Led the league in passing yards. Okay, led the league in passing yards. I still think their targets are fine. even without Humphreys and DeSean Jackson. I mean, what does DeSean Jackson mean?
Well, we know that.
What does DeSean Jackson mean to Jameis Winston? Nothing.
We all know that, Ira, but what's more important for them next on the offense? Is it getting a capable lineman, or is it getting a third down running back or a second, a 1A type of running back?
But both. Where's the third down running back? Where's the change of pace?
Well, the Bucs would tell you, Jones, we like him.
Well, the Bucs can say that all they want, but he gave Buck fans no reason to believe in him last year. Zero. Steve, it's hard to average 1.9 yards a carry. It's hard. Was he hitting the backfield a lot? Lousy blocking? Yes, he was. Not every carry. He didn't show any instincts. And as far as his hands, the less said, the better. And we thought it was just, because he wasn't used that way at Southern Cal. He'll grow into it. Well, I think it was in the bubble. The first time we saw him work out, little swing pass to Ronald Jones, boom, right off his hands. I think we saw it in preseason, boom, right off his hands. So I'm not rooting against Ronald Jones, but, boy, he's got a long way to resurrect himself as a pro. Steve, they got to pick up some more people on the offensive side of the ball. Have to. Can't go in with this roster. Cannot.
Well, it's interesting, Ira, because so far we effectively have no change other than losing, 1,500 yards or so between Humphreys and DeSean Jackson. We picked up Rashad Perriman, who's a project. He's a project. He's never really had a good year. 16 catches last year. Broke through a little bit, but not much. So we haven't gotten better. Of course, the organization goes back to that whole theme of the offseason, so we thought, which is we're going to coach him up. We're going to be better at every aspect of coaching. And
Godwin probably moves inside. I got confidence.
Again, Godwin doesn't want to move inside, Ira. So, I mean, he'll do it, and he'll probably be successful. But I don't know. It's a very interesting approach. I just still can't figure out the Bucs' plan for this year because, to me, it really felt like rebuild this draft. Didn't feel like reload, which is what Arians kept talking about.
Arians keeps talking
and
about
And especially
that.
When you get nothing in free agency, we didn't really get any home run hitters here other than Devin White. Obviously they expect him to be a Pro Bowler and all that. That is why,
for those of you who haven't read my Monday column, I urge you to do so.
Shame on you.
That is why, of course, we're all focused on the draft. It's late April. You're focused on the draft. But make no mistake, the key improvement for the 2019 Bucks has to come. Has to. I call them the Gang of Five. I called out five guys. All premium draft picks by Jason Light. All underachievers in their own way. Coach them up. Here they are. You start with Jameis Winston. Can't get around that. You go to Ronald Jones. Second round. Noah Spence. Second round. Vernon Hargraves. First round. Justin Evans. Second round. Have any of those guys made their mark in the NFL? Even Winston. 21-33, Jameis. Sorry. Those are the facts. That's where the improvement has to come. That's where the coaching has...
The Sage Gang of Five.
The Gang of Five. And if it doesn't come, then it's not the coaching. Then it's the talent. Then it's the players. That's the critical part of this season.
Well, if they don't get the improvement from those guys, they're going to win five games, Ira. And if they win five games, then the whole perception of Arians from the top down changes.
He said he's got better talent on this team than the 2013 Cardinals that he inherited. And we know what he did with them. He didn't waste any time bumping them up to 10 wins.
Sage, I got two pressing, really important questions for you. I want to remind everybody first that your podcast did reappear in the Google Play Top 50. Congratulations. Then you came out, and then you were back, and then you came out again.
But I'm lurking.
You're lurking. You're on the outskirts there, probably with Joe Scarborough or something like that. I don't know, but congratulations again. You're still lurking. You're still dominating. No local other podcast ever appears
there. Watch out, Judge Jeanine. I'm coming after you.
And it's even more impressive because the Google Play platform continues to grow as a podcast avenue. So.
And it's even more impressive because we're talking about a 5-11 football team.
Because we're talking about you. No, I'm kidding. I'm coming.
Imagine if this team turns the corner, Steve. Imagine.
It's hard to imagine right now, but maybe in a couple
You'll
of years.
You'll be flush, Steve. You'll be flush.
Flush.
With this website.
Get out of here, Ira. Flush. What is this, Vegas?
All right, what are you two pressing? You have two pressing questions.
All right, so your podcast can be found iTunes, Podbean, other platforms, Google Play. Subscribe just means you get a free alert that says, hey, there's a new podcast. A lot of podcast fans out there. It always amazes me, Ira, talking to the people, just the level of detail, the silly granular detail that they remember about the things we all say is fascinating. I'm glad we don't say bad things.
Are we being too depressing, Steve? Are we too negative? Are we too down? What's going on? We got to ask ourselves that question.
Well, here's the answer to that question. A lot of fans are going to feel that way, and they think that way. Ah, what a bunch of downers, Joe Bucks fan, blah, blah, blah. We're here to react to what's going on in the moment, in the time that what we have in front of us.
Are we making up 11 years without a playoff? Are we making
it up? No, we're feeling it, right? The rest of the media typically doesn't feel the angst of the past because they're just reporting what they see, allegedly, right? So,
but we got other podcasts, Steve, other websites. They're sucking up to the organization no matter what they do. It's a home run. It's this. It's that. We don't do that here.
We're carrying the baggage and the pain and the angst of years. Lee and I know you're new to the fan realm, Ira. But
new to the fan realm? I started in 86. I went 2-14.
Yeah, but you weren't a fan. You couldn't 85. Be a fan. Right. Things were different. But we're carrying the baggage and the pain of all that stuff behind us. And this doesn't look promising. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. And I hope like hell when the whistle blows that Sean Bunting's better than these other corners taken.
And Ronald Jones makes a big step up.
Ronald Jones takes a step. That Hargraves looks like has people starting to think, hey, look at the guy's got first-round talent. He has a few picks. He made plays on the ball. I mean, ball hawk, this guy. He had picks in college. And
Jameis isn't throwing interceptions.
And Jameis cuts back the turnovers. Donovan Smith plays inspired football with some new coaching, doesn't have some loafs. There's a lot of great things that can happen here. Mike Evans takes another step on his Hall of Fame track, which he is on, Ira, with all those 1,000-yard seasons.
And Devin White's as good as advertised.
Sure, I'm going to give the kid a little break, let him break in a little bit. But there's a lot of reason to be excited. But right now, it's all hope, and it doesn't look that great on paper. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. But
having said that, Steve, other teams every year that also have a lot of holes on paper turn things around. Better coaching, players take a step up in their development, and they don't look like the same team. I'm talking about you, Buffalo Bills. I'm talking about you, Cleveland Browns. Things can change quickly in this league.
Hey, it changed for the Bucks. They hired Dirk Cutter. They went 9-7. They had something going here. And it didn't improve. So, and it fell apart in a hurry with Mike Smith and all that mess. And terrible leadership by Dirk Cutter, really what it was. The guy basically just held his nose, turned his head away from the defense and said, the guy who can't figure it out will figure it out. Jason, help him. Yeah, it's terrible. Arians won't do that, and there's a lot of reason to be optimistic. Okay, two big questions for you, Ira. They don't have to do with beats or food or money. Gerald McCoy is still on this football team. The Bucs, roughly, if you look at their top 53 players, meaning those are the guys who are going to make the roster, roughly now the Bucs are about a couple of million dollars under the salary cap. They need about $10 million to sign these free agents, right? So you bring in $10 million, you cut off the $6 million. They need some money, but they don't need a ton. And Jason Light emphasized, well, we don't need that much. Gerald McCoy is factored into that salary cap. They don't need to shave a ton of guys to keep him. Do you think he's on this roster? He's still here. They still have a need. They didn't draft a defensive tackle except for the 7th rounder. And do they find a way to fix this? Even if they need another $10 million for McCoy, do they shave a Will Golston here and a Ryan Smith here and whatever? Do they make this happen? Mark Dominic was on the radio saying, I think they do ultimately keep Gerald. That's what he said before the draft.
All right. I got a good answer for you. As we speak, I've been writing up the Bucks preview for Lindy's Magazine, 2019 edition. Jameis Winston will be on the cover. It'll be out in June sometime. I just wrote the Bucks preview. I'm sitting at my computer and I'm saying, like, What the hell am I going to say about McCoy? This thing's coming out in mid-June, late June. What am I going to do? I didn't know what the hell to do. You know what I did? I never mentioned them. I had to break down the positions, defensive line, wrote about Vea, JPP, Nassib, Bo Allen, the draft pick.
What'd you write about Bo Allen, Aaron?
he's occupying a roster spot. I never mentioned McCoy. I mean, that's the decision I made. I'm trying to read the tea leaves. That's what you got to do. Later on, I got to write a comment for everybody on the roster. Like 80, 90 guys. They get one line each. I'm not going to put McCoy's name down on the defensive line. I'm not going to do it. Like he never exists. That is my determination. Because if I do it, and then he's gone, which I think he is, then it looks bad. And I had to make some kind of a decision. That was my decision.
Couldn't you put a little asterisk that says doubt?
There's no asterisk in Lindy's. You gotta make a call over there.
All right.
I think too much damage has been done. I think they've lost them mentally. Some of the comments that Arians made, which I really don't think he had to make, about not being the same player he was. Yeah, who's going to argue with that? But nobody ever says that about a guy that's still going to be on your team in the fall. Every time, Steve, you're right there when Arians and Leiter asked about McCoy. They don't know what the hell to say. But to me,
why don't they know what the hell to say? That's what I don't understand. How do you not, like, say, hey, what are we going to say about McCoy? How do you not? These guys are planners, leaders, executives in an organization. How do you not know what to say?
Not only is he a veteran player, he's supposed to be an integral player. An integral player on your team, and you don't know where you stand with the guy? I had to make the call. I say McCoy's not going to be here. That hasn't changed. They got money problems. It doesn't look like he's shaving his salary. It doesn't look like he'd mind being out there, available for another team. Maybe a playoff team. Closer than the Bucs are to the postseason. And that's the way I feel right now. It might change, but I don't see McCoy making it to training camp.
You don't see him making it to training camp. All right, Sage, we'll leave your sage wisdom there. And the bigger question, Team Glazer, you know them as well as anybody in the media. You know what they like, what they don't like, what their expectations are. You've heard them before, Ira, because I've heard them before say, we build the team in the trenches. Building in the trenches. They've referenced that before, building in the trenches. Where do you think they viewed this draft and the selection of a kicker? And are we going to hear in 2 weeks some other media type come out and say in 3 months, the Glazers were tapping Arians on the shoulder and said, get Mr. Gay, the guy with depression issues who kicks in Utah.
You mean putting their finger on the scale?
Yeah.
Forget about that nonsense. What I did see was jubilation in the draft room. I think it was on Buccaneers.com. I assume that was the Devin White pick. I assume. I don't think it was the kicker pick. Jubilation, and rightfully so. They're excited about Devin White, one of the great prospects that was available in the 2019 draft. No reason to think he's not going to be a very good player for this organization. But let's go back to the trenches, Steve. Let's go back. You know, I've been sounding this alarm ever since I joined Joe Bucks fan. Steve, it hasn't changed. And by the way, this is not something you think about, but I do. Speaking about me joining Joe Bucks fan, and I'm glad to be a part.
I don't know what's coming here.
No,
this sounds interesting.
I'm glad to be a part of it. But this is a solemn week. This is a solemn week because later in this week, I believe it's the third, it'll mark the third year anniversary of a tragedy in the Bay Area. No, I'm not talking about the Skyway Bridge getting hit, with 35 people dead. I'm not trying to compare it to that kind of a tragedy. But the Trib bought and folded by the rival Tampa Bay Times. 200 people thrown out on the street. And the great citizens of Tampa Bay robbed of a powerful voice in the community. Daily Voice, 120-year-old newspaper, gone. I don't want to dwell on it, but it got me to Joe Bucks fan, so that's a positive. But ever since I've been here, I've been yakking about the trenches. Yak, yak, yak. And as you just pointed out, where have you addressed it? Where, Glazers, have you allowed this to be addressed? Shaq Barrett may do some things. Deion Buchanan, the money back blocker, whatever the hell that means, and I still don't know what it means. I hope to know by training camp what a money backer does. It's one of the great questions of the ages. But doesn't help, again, the trenches. No Josh Allen. No Oliver. Unrein's gone. Curry's gone. McCoy, I think,'s gone. Where's the help? And speaking of the O-line, it isn't going to take very long because opening week, the Bucs have a better team than the 49ers. I dare say that. And I don't think Garoppolo will be ready, so the Bucs have an advantage at quarterback, maybe a big one. But the one thing the 49ers can do is bring some heat. And here comes Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, one of the better young defensive tackles in this league. And they got a guy named Dee Ford, which they just happened to pick up from the Chiefs, who inexplicably let him go because Steve Spagnuolo didn't want him, the new D coordinator there. And he's a guy with the arrow up, Glazers. Arrow up for Dee Ford. Yes, he was offsides in that game. I'll never forget it. But a pretty good football player entering his prime. Anyway, my point is San Francisco's pass rush on paper looks damn good. And that's if they get anything from Solomon Thomas, who looks like he's on the trade block. But I think he was the number 3 pick in the draft, Steve. Am I wrong? So he's got some skills. So we'll find out about the Buck offensive line. That's my way of answering. I don't see much help in the trenches. And you can load up in the secondary all you want, Steve. Let me make this final point. I'm an old Chiefs fan. And I believe it was the early 80s. They had a fabulous secondary. Kevin Ross, Albert Lewis, Lloyd Burris. And they had another guy that was pretty good. But they didn't have a very good defense. Why? No pressure. No pressure. And that was back when the rules, you know, didn't make it so tough to cover. Now nobody can cover. Now, I didn't say Bucks don't need cornerbacks. Yes, they do. But pressure's the key. And I hate to agree with DeKemper on anything, Steve. He's not here. But he is right. The best way to play pass defense, get the quarterback off his spot and put him under duress. And I don't think the Bucks are going to do enough of that.
I could just see you sitting back, Ira, watching early 80s Chiefs football at your 50th birthday party, having a good time. That must have been.
Todd Blackledge was the quarterback. The great draft of 83. The quarterback draft.
Yeah.
Jim Kelly.
They blew it.
Elway.
Marino.
Marino. They got Todd Blackledge, number 7 in the draft. Number 7.
Well, the Bucs did draft this Anthony Nelson out of Iowa.
Come on, Steven.
Fourth
Come
round.
On. Come on,
But he's
Steven.
A big body.
Big body.
He had a fantastic 3-cone drill at the combine. Got quickness.
Listen to yourself, young man. Listen.
A lot of production at Iowa. You don't like him too much?
Well, I think you're going to have to develop him. You can't count on a fourth round pick to make an immediate impact. I think that's dangerous. You know, just like I wouldn't count you to make an immediate impact at Joe Bucks fan your first 4 years in the business. You laid low. You let DeKemper run the show.
What are you
talking about?
All right, Sage, look.
Just asked me 2 questions and I just answered them.
You didn't really answer one of them, but that's typical. It's pretty good. 500 ball.
500
The Glazers ball. Like this draft or not? You think they like the draft or not? Team Glazer, what's the grade when they sit around?
I think they're with me. It's Devin White and Robin and the Seven Hoods. That's my answer. That's my answer.
I got to throw this to you, Sage. You know how this goes. Fans who are in agony, they calm down a little bit, and then training camp rolls around. And, of course, we get out there for OTAs. We talk about who looks good. This guy looks good. That guy looks good. Optimism rules, gets to the first preseason game and all that stuff. So, you know, we're not writing anything off, and we'll have to see what these guys look like on the field, and we'll be there for everybody on Joe Bucks Fan. Trying to get a feel for it. One thing I like about this draft, Ira, and I'm going to ask Arians about this. He probably won't give a straight answer, but that's fine. When you draft all these speedy guys that the Bucks did, when you play any sport, if you put a lot of speed guys on the field, even the 5th-round pick who's lightning fast, 6th-round pick guy, and Nelson, the 4th-round pick super fast, Jamel Dean, 4.3 speed, trying to make it as a corner. When you put all these crazy fast guys in the field, the pace of practice picks up and the intensity of practice picks up. Even if some of the guys aren't that good, things have a way of jacking everybody up. And I don't doubt at all that Arians trying to change the culture here is also looking at the team's speed and watching all that practice film he said he watched from last year and said, we're going to jack this thing up with a bunch of fast guys and change the mindset of the team that way. Do you think there's anything to that?
I think there is, because speed was the key factor the last time the Bucs had a defense that was worth a damn. It wasn't size. It wasn't physicality necessarily. It was speed. Swarm to the ball. Big, big part of that Tampa 2. Now, they're not going to play cover 2 necessarily. But whatever style Todd Bowles chooses to implement, speed, you can't teach it, as Arians has pointed out. But you can coach it. And if you can harness it, you got something. You got something. You know, 4-6 corners turn off scouts, no matter whether they got good ball skills or not. That's a big knock on them. Now, Dean's got 4-3 speed. You can work on his ball skills. That doesn't mean he's going to be the next Richard Sherman. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is we didn't see a lot of swarm to the ball the last few years. We didn't. We saw a lot of missed tackles, and then there's nobody there in the vicinity to make up for the missed tackle. I think that's going to be a big, big change around here, and Devin White's going to lead that charge, Steve.
Well, I'm very excited about the return of Tampa 2 this week. Ira, you will be back sitting down with Derek Brooks on Tuesday.
We'll do a little draft review, Steven.
And we'll be getting our shows on Thursday and Friday, probably.
Didn't Devin White say he wants to speak to the Don?
He does. And, you know, I actually talked to the producers over at the Identity Tampa Bay, and I've put in a little request that you don't even know about yet, Ira. But I want a whole show, I told them, on Derek Brooks explaining Devin White in the 3-4 defense, how he fits, what he needs to learn, how he can compare what he's done in college. I want all Devin White so people understand what's good, what he needs, you know, everything.
In detail.
None of this fluff. Devin White, all Derek Brooks.
I like it.
The people of Tampa deserve that. And
then the next show he'll go into the kicker.
Exactly. And I'll talk more about the kicker. Martin Gramatica talked about the kicker today. Ira, I'll tease that for our next show,
which will have the Kemper, and we'll get the Kemper's take on what happened on draft.
We'll be
on draft weekend.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about Devin White, because I've got some more to say about that, and I know you do too. Once you hear what we have to say, that should be fun.
Lee has calmed down, Steve. I've talked to him. He's calmed down. Still would rather, you know, have had Josh Allen. Maybe Oliver, but he's calm. He'll be lucid on the next broadcast.
All right, Ira, I'm not letting you go without talking a little bit about what happened around the division in the NFL. And we'll talk more about that in the next podcast. And, of course, our thanks to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The website's edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. The new May offers are popping right now. You want to get to those websites, and we'll have them up at joebucksfan.com before you know it. Now, our good friend Dirk Koetter, Ira, is now running the offense in Atlanta. And what does Atlanta do? Atlanta goes out there and reaches, I think by all accounts, for the guy you wanted the Bucks to get in the second round, guard Chris Lindstrom out of Boston College. And then they come back, trade up, get the right tackle, Caleb McGarry, out of Washington, and they don't really care that these are reaches. And I hate that term anyway. If the guy works, he works. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But they are putting two first-round picks on that offensive line that already has a Pro Bowl center, and they've got Jake Matthews on the left side. And what did the Falcons do in free agency? They signed two starting guards, guys who might not even make the team now. I mean, I'm stretching it a little bit, but that's a tremendous commitment by the Falcons to mortgage everything for the O-line. And then Matt Ryan comes out. We find out that he texted Dan Quinn during the draft. Thank you. Thank you. What does that tell you?
It tells me the Falcons are going to score a lot of points in 2019. A lot of points. They lost Tevin Coleman, but they still got weapons. The Ridley kid looked pretty darn good.
Hey, Hooper made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and, you know, Jones is as good as it gets. And Matt Ryan is a hell of a quarterback. I believe he threw 35 touchdown passes last year. He's running for his life half the time. Now, look, before lauding the Falcons scouting department, Steve, I'll say up front, I don't think they've been one of the better drafting teams in the last 5 years. I don't really think they have. And they've been a very up-and-down organization, especially after reaching the Super Bowl and blowing a 28-3 lead. You talk about trenches. You give Matt Ryan some time. That is a very dangerous offense. They still got Freeman in the backfield. And then you look at the Saints, Steve. They lose their center, who's a damn good one, and they focus on getting his replacement in the draft. Why? The Saints, traditionally, Steve, and you know this, they've always been strong at center and guards. They've always had those guards. Jarry Evans, the guy that the Bucks picked up.
Carl Nix. Max Unger was the guy they traded Jimmy Graham for. People couldn't believe it, and look where it got him.
And that is a direct reflection of Breeze. He's not 6'4". He likes to step up in the pocket. You know, when there's outside pressure, you step up and you form a nice little soft pocket around him. And he delivers the football. They can't lose that. So it's going to be a big battle this year, because when the Bucks play the Saints, the Bucks are going to blitz extensively up the middle with White and or Levante David. And they got a new center. Let's see what happens.
And that's a lot for a rookie to learn quickly there. And there's not a lot of 3-4 played in college as much. And so there's a big learning curve. At least we got the Saints early.
A very different mindset between the Bucks and the Falcons going into this draft.
Yeah, very interesting. Matt Ryan, just a couple of quick nuggets here before we run out the door. Matt Ryan's missed 2 games in 11 years. And now they're fortifying that. How long is he going to last, Ira? Another 5-6 years? With better protection. And, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you get the idea. These guys aren't retiring anytime soon. The league wants the star quarterbacks go until they're 40. The ratings go up on the old quarterbacks. People love them.
Breeze ain't have another 3 years left.
Who knows, Ira? The NFC South, I'll say this. The other three teams with their first 5 combined picks, all trench guys, all trenches. If you take the first 5 picks of those teams combined, and we got one in the 4th round, different mentality. We're going to find out what works. Send us out of here in 15 seconds, Ira.
It all comes down to one little truism when they had no face bars and rubber helmets. The guys closest to the ball usually determine the outcome of the game. Get out of here, Steve.